Well, if you will, please join me in the letter of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 1. You know, what a great morning to gather together as the local body of Christ and worship the living God. To gather and celebrate and witness two young men, Ben and James Blaine, obey the Lord and get baptized, openly declaring to family, friends, and church family what the Lord has done in their lives. You know, what a blessing it is to hear about parents who take seriously training their ways, their children in the ways of the Lord. What a joy that is. To hear of the faithfulness of parents to bathe them in the Word and to hear of God's amazing grace that has saved them. As a local body, we celebrate, but we must also pray and hold them accountable in their walk, as Brian so clearly stated. And Ben and James, as a reminder to you two, as members of Foundation Baptist Church, you are to point us to Christ and hold us accountable as well. That is your responsibility. And so we are running this race of faith together, and we all need each other. So let's go to the Lord in prayer before we begin and open up God's Word and exegete these verses this morning. Let's pray for God's grace to be poured out on more men, women, and children who are even here this morning. Father, we do thank you for today. Lord, we celebrate what you have done. But Lord, we come to you begging that you would not stop, that you would do more here. And no matter the age of any individual in this room, Lord, that you would save the lost. That you this morning would convict of sin, of righteousness and judgment. That you would equip your saints this morning to be on mission for you. Lord, that you would reveal sin in our lives. Sin that has been in our lives for a while, Lord, that we have made peace with. Lord, that you would declare war on that this morning. That we would confess that, we would run from that, we would run to you and hide in your grace. How magnificent your grace is. How great and amazing your grace is. So Lord, without your power this morning, nothing will be accomplished that will last. And so Lord, do your will this morning, your great and glorious will, through the reading and preaching of your word. Lord, use the people here to fulfill your mission. What a joy it is to not just be adopted, but to be adopted and sent out by you, to be a part of what you are doing in this world, of proclaiming the good news and seeing individuals repent and believe. And so, Lord, thank you for the time that we have this morning. Thank you for what you've done, what you are doing, and Lord, what you will do. May we give you all the praise and glory. In the name of Christ, we pray these things. Amen. So last week, we began our study of Ephesians. Paul begins by declaring whose he is. Whose he is. He says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God. That he belongs to the Lord and he is an apostle by the will of God, not his own will. And while in chains, he is writing in Ephesus, he's writing to the churches in Ephesus to point them to Christ, to equip them in understanding and remembering that they have all that they need in Christ. And no matter your age this morning, physical age or your spiritual age, we all must remember who we are in Christ. That Christ is absolutely enough. He is enough. This foundation must remain true in our lives and must not be abandoned if the Lord's church is going to be healthy. To build anything not on Christ is to build something that will not last. Paul also informed them that those who are in Christ are faithful and will remain faithful. A child of God has a pattern of faithfulness, a walk of faithfulness. They will persevere as Paul did, even in the midst of persecution, because God's grace is greater than all that we encounter in this life, physical and spiritual. Grace and peace is what God's children have, and grace and peace is what this world needs. So Ephesians 1, beginning in verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us for adoptions as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace, which was He has blessed us in the Beloved. May the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His Word. So today we will look at verses 3 through 6. However, just so you know, verses 3 through 14 is actually one long sentence. And so I love that because I like long sentences and I speak and write very often in long sentences. So it is good. The church is told of the past, the present, and the future of God's eternal plan in saving His bride, His saints, here in Ephesians chapter 1. You have past election by God the Father. You have present redemption by God the Son. And you have future inheritance sealed by God the Holy Spirit. This could cause God's children, this should cause God's children to rest in Him and praise Him. Now, I'm not naive to think that some of these words scare individuals out here this morning. You have words predestined. You have words that some individuals just choose to ignore. You're talking about election. You're talking about being chosen before the foundation of the world. But I assure you, God is sovereign over all things. Many people will say amen to that, but God is also sovereign over salvation. This should cause God's children to rest in Him and praise Him. That God has accomplished everything when concerning His children, and what He has yet to do. He will bring them to completion. That's good news. It's not based on me. It's not based on what I can do. It's not how tightly I can hold on to God, even though I am to hold on to God tightly. It is if the Lord is saying, I will never let you go. You are mine. It doesn't matter what comes your way. God has accomplished everything when concerning His children. The greatest thing in our life as a saint was not accomplished by us. It was graciously granted by God. That salvation is a gift. Salvation is the greatest thing in our life. Amen? We never get over it, and we cannot leave it because it was a gift to us that never can be destroyed. See, we never get over salvation because the Lord has lifted the blinders from our eyes and He's shown us our depravity by His law, and we see our sin and we wonder, why would a holy God save a wretched and undeserved sinner like me? Have you ever thought that? Especially in your deepest and darkest hour that you've had to date. You're going through a hard and difficult time in your life and you are wondering, Lord, why in the world would you save me? That's the beauty of the gospel. And we can also never leave salvation because the Holy Spirit abides in His saints forever. You're a new creation. You've been born again, born from above. So a part of God's grace is that He will bring us to completion and continue in the present to conform us more into the image of Christ. God's grace includes the truth that He is not only the author of salvation, but the perfecter and finisher of our salvation. So right now, if you're being disciplined by the Lord, welcome to sanctification. That's what He does. We have freedom in Christ, freedom to know Him, freedom to praise Him, freedom to obey Him. Freedom to be a living sacrifice for God. Freedom to go and call others to repent and to believe. To have Christ is to have everything. Or as one author said, Jesus Christ plus nothing equals everything. To have Christ is to have life and satisfaction. The question is, are you resting in Him? Look at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Don't forget those last few words. God the Father has blessed His saints in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. What we see here is the unfolding of God's character as Paul is praising God and reminding his audience in Ephesus of who God is and what He has done for them as His saints. That God is the blessed one, we see that. God is the blesser. The blessed ones are His saints. The blessing agent is Jesus Christ. The blessing given to God's saints is spiritual, and the location of this forever blessing is in the heavenly places. So it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul is declaring to those in Ephesus, God is the one who we are to praise. God is the one whom we are to bless because He has blessed His people. We were made to praise God and no one and nothing else. Amen? This is why we have commandment number 1 and number 2, right? No other gods and no idols. Why is that? Well, no one else is worthy. Nothing else is worthy. God alone is to be worshipped. He alone is good and nothing else is. We must not make idols of unworthy people or unworthy things. In other words, there are no substitutes. And we must not have any substitutes. And I don't have to ask you to raise your hand to ask if you did this week, because we all did. We all had substitutes this week. Money, relationships, sex, alcohol, hobbies, possessions, retirement, husband, wife, safety, laziness, entertainment, being comfortable. All of these are unworthy idols, unworthy substitutes that we can worship instead of worshiping the living God. God is to be the one whom His saints praise. Those whom God has brought out of darkness and into the light of life are to praise God alone. And if you really think about it, what else has anything or anyone really done for you besides God? He's done it all. Our verses we memorized together as a church family in January. It is January. That was January, by the way. What month are we in now? May. We're just doing one verse a month, so hopefully you're staying up with it. Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. But let him who boasts, boast in this, that he understands and knows me. That I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. So what do we have to boast in besides the Lord? Nothing. We're to praise God alone. Do you remember when the rich young ruler approached the Lord Jesus? We went through that in the Gospel of John. He said this, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. So God alone is good, and He will not share His glory with another. He must be everything in our life. And many times we're just like the rich young ruler, where daily we see the Lord. Daily we come to the Lord, and daily we turn away from the Lord, and we serve other things. Verse 3, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. So God's children did not bless themselves. An evil man or woman cannot bless themselves apart from God's grace. Paul discusses this more in Ephesians 2. The salvation is by God's outpouring of grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. That God blesses His saints. God's saints play no role in being blessed because they are dead. He did it all. What does a dead person do? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And it was done perfectly. It was done spotless by the Lamb of God. That God is blessed and He blesses His children. God blesses His children by bringing them into right standing with Him. And He does this by the atoning work of His Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. We just spent 4 weeks on Wednesday night talking about the atonement of Christ, what He has done, what He has accomplished, and how great that is. That when we understand more and more of who God is and more of who we are, we understand the greatness of what He has saved us from, but what He has saved us to, and how we're seeing here this morning that this is kept in heaven for us. No one else is going to touch it. It's perfect. It's complete. It's all that we need. God is blessed, and He blesses His children. He blesses His children. God blesses His children by bringing them into right standing. And Jesus Christ is the blessing agent, the Lamb of God, the one who takes away the sin of the world and declares God's children, God's saints, holy and innocent by His own sinless blood. The blood of Christ covers the sins of God's saints. God's saints are blessed. Well, how blessed are they? End of verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. So God's saints are blessed in Christ, and God's saints are in Christ. Well, what does it mean to be in Christ? To be in Christ, or in Him, as Ephesians use a lot, refers to the intimate union that God has established between Christ and His people that is confirmed with the seal of the Holy Spirit. So every single blessing we enjoy as saints comes to us through Jesus Christ, because we are in Christ. You are a new creation. So God no longer sees a wretched sinner when He looks at you, His saint, but a precious saint, because the righteousness of Christ has been imputed to you. Isn't that good news? That we have an active relationship with God, whereby we will be looking to God in this life, and He will discipline us and never allow us to stray for too long, because we are sealed with the Holy Spirit, and He will conform us into the image of His beloved Son. So the saint in Christ is blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. How I wish so many churches and pastors would understand it's not about your best life now. Look what this is saying. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Look at what you have modeled in Scripture. Is everyone rich and wealthy and getting everything? Now, are those some individuals? Absolutely. Look at the life of Christ. Look at the life of Paul. I mean, look what he's writing. He's like, hey, you have everything that you need in Christ. And where is he? In prison. He's in chains right now. He's saying, look, you have all that you need in Christ. What Paul is discussing here is a particular grace. Blessings reserved only for God's children. Only His saints have access to the heavenly places. All receive general graces. The sun rises on the just and unjust. But Paul is focusing his attention to the saints in Ephesus, that the work that God has done in them is great, and what they have all could ever need or want is in Christ, that they have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Present tense. Listen to the words of John Calvin here. Whether we understand the meaning to be in heavenly places or in heavenly benefits is of little consequence. All that was intended to be expressed is the superiority of the grace which we receive through Christ. The happiness which it bestows is not in this world, but in heaven, in everlasting life. So this spiritual blessing is a heavenly places is not referring to something that we will experience now on this earth. This spiritual blessing in heavenly places is referring to the present enjoyment also of God's gifts, a spiritual reality for His present saints. It's not that just we will have everything in Christ. It is that you do have everything in Christ. And so we rest in that. As saints who are in Christ, we are currently forever linked with the heavenly realms. Our home is set, our path is being walked, and we enjoy some benefits now because we are in Christ, walking towards our home, waiting for all the spiritual blessings to be fully fulfilled at God's perfect timing. So God redeems His saints, and His saints have all they need, all they could ever think or imagine, Ephesians later describes. We have all that we need. Their salvation is secure, their home is set, and they will enjoy Christ now, and as a saint, you will serve Him now. You will march homeward as a temporary pilgrim, living to build God's forever eternal kingdom in heaven. Nowhere in Scripture do you see God's saints waiting on heaven. You see God's saints working to build His kingdom here on earth. For the saint, this world has nothing because God is everything and the world does not know God. So let me ask you, are you sure of your salvation this morning? Saints, are you enjoying the Lord? I'm not asking if you had a quiet time. I'm not asking if you finished your checklist. I'm asking if you rest enough in the Lord to actually enjoy Him. Enjoy Him. To enjoy the Lord. Are you satisfied with Christ? Are you satisfied with Him? Or have you become satisfied with idols? Are you seeking the unsearchable depths of God's greatness? The greatness of His grace? The greatness of Jesus? See, what you just saw and experienced from many all around the world is you have people celebrate and clap and get excited for baptisms. But baptism is not the end. It's the beginning of obedience. Because a year from now, if that individual, if they're not walking with the Lord, if they're not really excited, like if they're not filled with just, oh Lord, I want to know You. Lord, I want to make You known. Then what does that matter? One of the pastors that I highly admire, his name is Francis Chan. He journals a lot, and I do too, so that's a good thing. And he was journaling, and he was reading over something he had written like 5 years ago. And he had to close his journal. And after he closed it, he just got on his knees and started to pray. And he said, Lord, I am ashamed. I see how much passion I had, how much love I had, how I was just so satisfied with You. And look at where I am today. Where'd it go? I want that back. I didn't know how good that was. Are you seeking the unsearchable riches of God's grace today? Are you abiding in the Lord? Are you getting in the Word and talking to Him? You must get alone with the Lord. You must pray. We all need solitude and we all need silence. Look at verse 4. Even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. So God the Father has chosen His saints to be holy and blameless before the world was created. So God has blessed His saints with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, and He chose His saints before the foundation of the world. So what can man boast about? Nothing. God in His sovereignty specifically chose certain people to call His own. All were headed to hell, but God graciously chose to redeem some. God chose to adopt some and call them His saints. And do you know what is so great about this? He did this before the world was even created. So you ask yourself, I'm like, wow, that's amazing. God is great. His choosing was not based on those whom He knew would believe, not based on God's foreknowledge, as some have declared, but His choosing was based on His sovereign will, as the Scripture says, that God found pleasure in saving sinners. What an amazing God. He knew His creation would sin, yet what did He do? He still created. He knew His creation would crucify His Son, yet what did He do? Yet He still sent Him. The cross of Christ was always God's plan. It was always God's plan to rescue sinners. So God chose His saints before the foundation of the world, before the foundation of the world was created, and He chose His saints to be what? To be holy and blameless before Him. John 17, beginning in verse 6, it says, I have manifested Your name to the people whom You gave Me out of the world. Yours they were, and You gave them to Me, and they have kept Your word. Now they know that everything that You have given Me is from You, for I have given them the words that You gave Me, and they have received them and have come to know in truth that I came from You. And they have believed that You sent Me. I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom You have given Me, for they are Yours. All Mine are Yours, and Yours are Mine, and I am glorified in them. So God is clear, and Jesus Christ is clear. God has elected, he has chosen a group of people to redeem and call his own, a group of people to be holy and blameless before him. And so what is the result of his children? To praise him. That God has set apart, he has set aside a group of people from all who have ever existed, whom he calls his saints, and his saints will be holy and blameless before him because of the work that Christ has done. Listen to the words of 1 Corinthians 1, 26 through 31. He says, "For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise." He's being facetious, saying none of you were. "According to the worldly standards, not many were powerful, not many were of noble birth, but God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ." Because of who? Because of him. "Who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that it is written, 'Let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord.'" Romans 9, verse 11. "Though they were not yet born, had done nothing either good or bad, in order that God's purpose of election might continue, not because of works, but because of him who calls." Romans 9, verse 16. "So then it depends not on human will or exertion, but on God who has mercy." I hope you caught that. Not on human will. Man cannot boast about anything. God chose. It is because of God that his saints are in Christ. If you are a saint today, you are his because he chose you. Rest in this truth and never abandon it. Boast in the Lord and faithfully praise and serve him. In the words of John Stott, "Election is a divine revelation, not a human speculation." Or Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, "Election is a statement, it's not an argument." Some argue that God elects and blesses based on man's choice or response of faith, but this is not election. If this were true, God ordains nothing in salvation, and the individual ordains himself. Therefore, the person has a right to boast, but that's not the gospel. God's word is clear about the hopeless condition of man. At conception, the child loves the darkness and hates the light. This is the natural depraved state of all. In the words of James Boyce, "When people have trouble with election, and many do, their problem is not with the doctrine of election, although they think it is, but with a doctrine of depravity that makes election necessary." We are all haters of God before salvation, unwilling and unable to go to God unless he releases his grace upon us. God must grant mercy. But we know one thing. Faith comes through hearing, and hearing through the word of God. So we teach and we preach and we point all to Christ and call all to repent and to believe. That's what we must do. The responsibility of us is to proclaim God's word so that God will save. And that is the beauty of it. It's not that God saves us. It's like, "Hey, you're adopted. Come over here into my family. You belong to me. Just sit." No. He says, "Come over here. I'm going to equip you. I'm going to work in you. And guess what? You're going back out here where I brought you out from, and you're going to call other people to repent and believe. And I'm going to use you to grow my kingdom." That's what he does. That's the beauty of it. There is great beauty in election. There's great beauty in it. And I don't have to guess, "Hey, well, if I go out here and I start sharing the gospel with some people, I hope somebody comes." No, God's going to save whom he wants to save. There's freedom in understanding this. He's going to do his will. And sometimes his will is to bring judgment on a person. Says, "You just heard the gospel from Sam. You just heard the gospel from Philip. You just heard the gospel from Blake. You heard the gospel. I sent people. They proclaimed the good news to you. You are all without excuse from general revelation." And sometimes God's great grace, when he overflows into the life of individuals, is also, "Guess what? I'm also going to send you someone to share special revelation with you as well." And that's why, as Christians, we're not done. We're not done, are we? They're still unreached. They're still unengaged. Right now, there are people around this world who are perishing and they have never even heard or seen a Bible. Never. Praise God for what He has done in our lives. Verse 4, even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. He set apart saints. Why? So that we would be holy and blameless. Literally, He set apart saints to be holy and spotless without blemish. His saints are this because they are in Christ. To be a saint is to be holy positionally. This is what Paul is declaring. This is the purpose of election. We are holy and blameless because of the work of Christ and what He has already accomplished. Once He accomplished it, it's done, it's over with. This is Paul's point here in verse 4. But also, as saints, we're to walk this life before God, imaging Him. Ephesians describes this in great detail, how to walk in holiness. To be honest, this is why I want to get to this and talk about this so much. In Ephesians, you have how to walk before God, how to walk with other saints, how to live before sinners, how to live with your husband, how to live with your wife, how to walk with your children, how to stand in spiritual warfare. That's just to mention a few. There is greatness in this letter. We are to live as saints, coram Deo. Living coram Deo is to live one's entire life in the presence of God, under the authority of God, to the glory of God. We are to live this life before a holy God in every way. This is the goal. This is our calling. This is why God elected His saints. And if you are His saint this morning, you are not done. You are called to be holy in difficult and trying times. You are called to be holy in good times. You are called to be holy till He is finished with you. So let me ask you, what does God see in your life right now? You know He sees, right? El Roy, the God who sees everything. What does He see right now in your life? What fruit are you producing by God's grace? How are you glorifying the Lord? If you are struggling spiritually, are you seeking help? Accountability, counsel. See, one of the beauties of being a member of a local church body is just that. It's not that you join and I want to be a member here and you don't invest in the people. This is the church family. This is this family. Outside of blood family who's saved, the most important relationships that you have are in this room. Absolutely, 100%. You walk with them. You have community. So if you're struggling, are you seeking help? Do you have accountability? You have counsel? Iron sharpens iron. And Scripture is also very clear, if you're walking alone, you're an absolute fool. Are you living as an obedient saint, or are you just professing to be a saint? Verse 5, in love He predestined us for adoptions as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace, which He has blessed us in the Beloved. So in love, God the Father predestined His saints for adoption according to His will. So God loves, and the result is saints praising Him. Predestination is an act of love by God. So what does it mean to be predestined? In love, God chose individuals before creation to bring into eternal communion with Himself. That's what you have the two pictures of. You have baptism and Lord's Supper, the things that churches are commanded to do. That's a picture of communion. Look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord will continue to do. And He's bringing us home. This adoption is God's will. And as saints, we are to swim in this ocean of grace and to dive into greater depths of comprehending this profound truth. There is nothing greater. There is nothing greater than adoption, nothing greater than the gospel. This is it. So the God of all creation has adopted His saints, and He is still doing this. He is not done. I visited this past week with a pastor, and we started getting into a conversation, and don't ask me what his name is. I won't tell you. And as we were sharing, he just says, man, Casey, I've just found out that we just need to water down everything, including the gospel. That was his words to me. And I looked at him and you've missed it. He's like, have you found that to be true at Foundation? I was like, no, sir, I have not. I have found that if I am a faithful child of God, a faithful saint, that I stand before them, I proclaim the good news, and God's going to do whatever He wills to do. But my job is to obey, and that's who I am. God's grace is glorious, and His grace is only possible through Jesus Christ. We are His, and not only that, we have brothers and sisters. We have a family. So if you're struggling right now and you're not going to one of your family members asking for help, shame on you. That's what it means to be adopted. You have a family. The bride of Christ is many. It's not one person. Many from all around the world, from every tribe and tongue. But the Lord also graciously calls us to walk with a local church family. If you love Christ, you will love the church because Christ died for the church. And you will walk with the church. Once adopted, we are to be around family. Also, as a saint, we need to read the Word and know our new Father better, as well as obey His commands and follow in the footsteps of Christ. We will seek and save the lost by proclaiming the good news of Jesus. A simple question that is often not said, because most of the time many pastors don't do it themselves: when's the last time you've shared the gospel with somebody? That could be the very reason why individuals think the church is boring. Well, what do you mean by that? Well, in Acts, when you have the Holy Spirit, what's it say in Acts 1:8? You receive the Holy Spirit and you're going to go and sit in the pew. Nope. You're going to receive the Holy Spirit and you're going to go and be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So what does it mean if the Holy Spirit doesn't move the saint to proclaim the good news? Are you spending time with the Lord? He doesn't adopt and leave us. He adopts and brings us to look more and more like Christ as the days go by. We will seek and to save the lost by proclaiming the good news. God does not just adopt. He sends His saints out to rescue others from their sins. He sends His saints out to grow His kingdom. What a joy it is to be a servant in God's kingdom. As a saint, we do not know who the elect are. When individuals make this statement, they miss it. But we know the message we are to proclaim to all. And all who are the elect will repent, and all the elect will believe. All the elect will also bear fruit for the Lord. So the question is, are you pursuing to know God greater? Saint, how are you imaging Christ? God chose, God predestined, God adopted His saints to the praise of His glorious grace, and His saints are to live this life for His glory. His saints are to work for Him because they are vessels in which His forever kingdom will grow. Are you working? See, for some of us, as we go through the letter of Ephesians, we need to step back away from some of the things that we're doing, and we just need to rest in Jesus. Because sometimes individuals can get so caught up in serving and serving and serving and serving and serving, and then they forget why they're serving. And that's because they're not resting in Christ. They're not resting in Christ. They've forgotten what it's like, that even when they have moments with the Lord, they have to have music on, or they become overwhelmed. Sit in silence. Read the Bible out loud. It was meant to be read out loud. When you read of Scripture, when it says in the Old Testament, the Bible was open, and when it was opened, everybody stood up. And once everybody stood up, what did they do? We even have testimonies of people reading it from the sunrise to the sun going down. That's how much great love and dedication they had for the Word of God. And some individuals get upset with me when I go past 40 minutes. I mean, the words of God, They are more important than anything that this world has to offer. Anything. Are you pursuing to know God greater? Are you working for the Lord? Because if not, whatever you are building, whatever foundation that you are building upon, if it is not Christ, it will not stand. Look back again with me at verse 3. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us for adoptions as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace, which He has blessed us in the Beloved." Do you see the need? We've got to soak in and know whose we are. And we have to keep that in our minds, in our hearts, and remember that. And as we are soaking in that, remembering that, preaching the gospel to ourselves, we go out and we share that there is good news for all the sinners here. Let me share the good news with you.